In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. Good morning. We're jumping the gun here today by a day, but happy Epiphany. We recognize Christmas in the Episcopal Church to be a season, not just a day. It's our shortest season, 12 days long, if you remember. And also, if you remember that, you can expect your true love to send you 12 drummers drumming today on the last day of Christmas. So anyway, if it matters to you, and if you count the days, today actually is the 12th day of Christmas, and tomorrow is Epiphany, but since chances are slim that tomorrow anybody's going to be here in church, we're celebrating Epiphany today. And that's a good thing, right? It's good that we remember the story of the Magi that Matthew tells, the story that Matthew tells, how wise people from the east follow a star and it leads them to the place where Jesus and his mother were. They kneel down, pay him homage, and offer him gifts. So Epiphany in the church is the commemoration of the coming of the Magi, the wise people, as the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. And I'm not sure that was what Matthew was getting at necessarily when he included this in his story, but that's how we as the church have interpreted it, and that's what we're remembering today. It's important to remember also that wise men is a translation from the word magi, which is used to denote priests in the Zoroastrian religion, and there's no way for us to know that they were necessarily all men. And if you read the passage closely, you'll notice that there's also no mention of how many there were either, but three gifts were given, and by tradition we say that there were three of them. None of this takes away from the story. It's a beautiful story, somewhat troubling, given that most of our passage today is about Herod and his scheming and his paranoia. And it only gets worse, by the way, as the story goes on. But today we're going to focus on this beautiful little story of the coming of the Magi, and what I would really like to focus on, because it's what I've kind of been thinking about this week, is the nature of giving and receiving gifts. You've all heard this joke, or some version of it, I'm sure. If it had been three wise women instead of three wise men, they would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped to deliver the baby, brought practical gifts, diapers perhaps, cleaned up, made a casserole, and there would have been peace on earth. And what a great little nugget of wisdom is in that joke. It pokes fun at us men, I think, rightly, and how clueless and grandiose we can sometimes be. And it says something about how good women can be to one another, especially at this time. And since in the scene from Matthew that this plays off of, Joseph's nowhere to be found, just Mary and the baby. Three wise women show up, they get busy, and they take care of business. They bring the gift of themselves, right? And diapers. And I've actually seen this happen. I've seen it happen more than once. And it always makes me feel a little inadequate, like, why didn't I think of that? But that's not the feeling I want to dwell on, so I won't. But seeing wise women do their thing also makes me incredibly grateful. Gratitude is the feeling that I would like to dwell in today, and it's the feeling that I want to encourage us all to dwell in, gratitude, as much as we possibly can, and not only today, but in the year to come, 2020. Gifts, freely given, received with gratitude. And I feel like this time of year, now that the hustle and bustle of the holiday season is behind us and another year is in the rearview mirror, that it's a good time to reflect on all the gifts that we've been given. A lot of gifts have changed hands in the last 12 days. A lot of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I got some. I know you did too. And I know that you not only received gifts, but you gave gifts generously because you're an incredibly generous group of people. You've not only given to those you know and love, your family and your friends and those close to you, but you've also loved those less fortunate than you by giving coats for our "if you need one, take one" coat drive. You've given food to the food pantry. You've given money for power bills through our Carolyn Houghton Season of Light Fund. You've given gifts through the Angel Tree and through the Secret Santa to people that you don't even know. And that's the Spirit. That is the Spirit working in you and through you, spreading love in this valley and beyond. And I'm proud of you. And I'm grateful to know you. To know you are all in my life. Thank you. It's an interesting circle, this giving and receiving. We give gifts because we've received so much. We give gifts to those we know and to those we don't know because other people are God's greatest gifts to us. A famous philosopher said, famously, that hell is other people. I feel sorry for him because he's dead wrong. Other people are tricky, granted. Our relationships are a little messy, and people are complicated just as we are, and people can definitely get in our ways, but people, our greatest gifts are one another. We give gifts to strengthen our bonds, and when we receive gifts, we give gratitude in return in order to strengthen our bonds. Jesus was God's gift to this world. Jesus is God's gift to us. Born like us into troubled and troubling times where wars and rumors of wars were and are constant threats, and the future seems to be in others' hands, not necessarily in ours. Jesus, born into that troubled present, lived his life as one of us and died, and promised us that death would not have the final word. Our creed says that he was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. It goes on there to tell us that he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. And I believe that, but what does the creed leave out? Well, everything in between. It leaves out what we know from the Gospels about Jesus' life, how he healed the sick, fed the hungry, gave hope to the poor, and always sided on the side of the oppressed. Jesus' whole life was one great gift, the gift of himself. His life was a gift freely offered to us all these years later, one that we can accept with gratitude, and in the circular nature of gift giving and receiving, it's a gift that we can return to the world. Back to the story of the three wise women, the gift of Jesus sounds more like diapers and casseroles than it does gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We say some people are gifted. We mean that there's something extraordinary about them. They can know things and do things that surprise us, and there's really no explaining how they know what they know and do what they do. They've been given a gift. Now, the most remarkable people that I know take that gift and give it away. When we encounter these people, we stand in awe. Gratitude is the appropriate reaction. Regifting is a thing. I've done it. I'm guessing some of you have done it too. I've taken a gift that I've received, rewrapped it, and passed it along. There's nothing wrong with that. Is there? I don't know for sure. It's one of those many gray areas in which we live our lives. But I usually re-gift things that I don't really want. What would it look like to rewrap that most precious gift that I've been given, that is my life, and give it to someone that I don't even know? How much gratitude would that show? We live in a world where earning, buying, and selling take up most of our time and energy. It's just a fact. But gifts are items of commerce because they move between us and they form bonds among us. But gifts are not a transaction. If you have to pay for something you receive, it's not a gift. If you're paid for something that you deliver, it's not a gift. That's why gift giving is so freeing. Because gifts are free. This isn't to say that you might not have to work hard to procure the gift that you give. You just have to expect nothing in return. But here's the catch. You can't even expect gratitude in return. Here's the definition of epiphany. Capitalized, capital E, Epiphany, is January 6th, tomorrow, observed as a church festival in commemoration of the coming of the Magi as the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Or it's an appearance or manifestation, especially of a divine being. Or a usually sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. Or an intuitive grasp of reality to something, usually simple and striking. Or an illuminating discovery, realization, or disclosure, a revealing scene or moment. So did you think that Epiphany is only tomorrow or today as we have joyously jumped the gun? Did you think that we would only celebrate this illuminating discovery, this revealing scene for one day? Well, if you've been hanging around the Episcopal Church for any length of time or for maybe all of your life up until now, you'll know that we won't let such an important event go so easily. We'll celebrate this season of Epiphany, this season of the light of Christ, all the way to Ash Wednesday. So be prepared to be surprised. Take communion as often as you can. It's God's gift to us, freely given, no strings attached. Recognize how gifted you are, how inspired you are, how the Spirit moves you to knowledge and action that you didn't even know you were capable of. Our lives are gifts, freely given, no strings attached. And may this circle of giving and receiving and gratitude and giving and receiving and gratitude be upon you today and remain with you always. Amen.